Amen. Well, it's good to be here tonight. And I tell you, it sure is good to be saved. Amen. And thankful to be like the maniac of Gadara after he had a run-in with Jesus. He's clothed and in his right mind. Amen. I'm glad that's me tonight, clothed and mostly in my right mind. Amen. And took in their wires. All right. I don't like microphones. Y'all like microphones? I don't like them. They're a blessing. That's right. Amen. Like Brother Jacob said, my name is Brother Caleb Hewitt, and I've got my family here with us tonight, my wife Deanna and our children, Braylon, Elijah, Dakota, and Emmett. And so we are glad to be here tonight. And we are missionaries with Macedonia World Baptist Missions and missionaries to North Dakota. And we've been serving in North Dakota since 2018. And God allowed us to go up and take a church as a church rescue, and has allowed us to see God do some big things there over the past 3 years almost. December will be 3 years since we've been there, and it just seems like yesterday we were packing up and moving in the middle of a snowstorm to North Dakota. Amen. And it seems like that's the time of year to move out north, is right in the middle of a blizzard. Amen. And it's the time to do it. You get broke in right, and you expect that you get introduced to the worst right off the bat, and you don't have nothing else to worry about. Amen. And so, but no, we've been there at the Pleasant Valley Baptist Church in Dickinson, North Dakota, since December of 2018. And God allowed us to go in, take a church that had been without a pastor for a couple years. And in those couple years of being without a pastor, a lot of unfavorable type people had the leadership of the church, and they were taking it down a path that it was one of those. It was going to be a family owned and operated kind of church, and they were going to they were already getting a reputation as a meat grinder for preachers, and that's not a good reputation for a church to have. Amen. And I mean, they had one guy they voted in on a Sunday morning, kicked him out on Wednesday evening in the same week, and so. I don't know why God put us there, but thankfully he made me hard-headed and stubborn enough to stay there. And we've fought a lot of hard battles over the past couple years, but God's done a great work there, and finally getting the church heading the right direction with the Lord's help. And God's given us a group of people that's got a burden for souls and that want to live right and do something for God. And I say praise the Lord for that. And so after we kind of got the church back on the right direction and heading the right direction, God reminded me of the fact that He called me to church planting back in 2012. And so we started praying about this thing and seeking the Lord's will and what He wanted us to do in this need of church planting out west, and got to looking around and realized there is a population. Dickinson, North Dakota has got about 23,000 people in the population of the city there, and about 6%, which equates to about 1,200 of those people, are Hispanic and do not speak English. And they don't have a solid church to go to. They've got a Pentecostal work with a woman pastor that they are not getting the gospel preached to them at. And then there's a Catholic church in town that has a Spanish work. And no one really working to reach the Hispanic community with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And God has burdened our heart for those people. And somehow, some way, we're going to start trying to reach out to them. Amen. I don't know the language, but God knows it. And He knows who we need and how we need to get it done. So we're going to start off when we get back trying to reach these people. We've had a church give us about 5,000 Spanish tracts, and we're going to just get out and get after it with the tracts at first, and just see what God does as far as getting a work started there in Dickinson, North Dakota, for the Spanish speaking people. And as well as that work, we're going to be starting to reach out to other communities around us that don't have churches in them. And we're a good hour and a half or so away from a church that we could even have fellowship with. And from there, it gets to be in 3 and 4 hours in any direction you go before you find a solid church that would be worth attending to, that's teaching and preaching the right gospel and the right Bible. And there's a great, great need for the gospel in North Dakota. But we're going to start off going door to door. Lord willing, see some folks saved, see some Bible studies started in these communities, go and do tent meetings and things of that nature to try to get folks interested. And Lord willing, see churches birthed out of these efforts and just see what God does there. So we're excited to see what God's going to do in these ministry outlets, that God's put in front of us. And we're just praying that God will give me the strength and the mind to keep it all together and keep pressing forward for Him. Amen. And so please pray for us as we get back. We'll be finishing up 3 months. We've taken 3 months away from the ministry up there to try to raise some more ministry support. And October 31st is our last scheduled meeting. November 1st, 2 weeks from tomorrow. Praise God. I'm looking forward to getting back to it. We'll be home in North Dakota and be able to get back into the work up there. And so please pray for us and stop by, check out our table. North Dakota is home to about 770,000 or so people. And out of that, there you go and Google Independent Baptist Churches in North Dakota and 37 churches pop up. And out of those 37, we could probably cut that number in half, if not more, as far as being good, solid churches to reach 770,000 plus people. There's a great need. So please help us pray for the work in North Dakota. Help us pray for laborers. It's more work than what me and my family can do on our own, but I'm glad we serve a God that has access to everything that we stand in need. And one of my favorite verses concerning the ministry is 1 Thessalonians 5:24. It says, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." God's called us to this work. God's put us in this field, and we're just trusting him to do the work. Amen. And so thank y'all for allowing us to be here tonight, brother, and just thank you for praying for the ministry there. And so we got a message that Lord, I've been praying about what to preach here this evening. The Lord keeps bringing me back to this message, and so I think we're going to listen to him tonight. If you'll open your Bibles up to 1 John chapter number 3, 1 John chapter number 3, we're going to look at one verse in our hearing this evening, and Lord will just want to try to be try to encourage you with this message tonight. And I know the verse is kind of not one that you look at and think, well, man, that's an encouraging verse. I've never gone to 1 John 3:13, looked at it, and said, thank you, Lord, for the encouragement in that verse. I'm just going to be honest with you tonight. But I think if we look at this and look at the context of this thought in the Scriptures, we can draw some encouragement out of it before the message is out tonight. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 13, if you're there, say amen. Amen. All right. Amen. 100% participation. All right. And so 1 John chapter 3, verse 13 says, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you." Basically saying they're going to hate us. So don't be surprised when the world hates you. That's encouraging, isn't it, Brother Jacob? I mean, that's not one of the verses you want to go to when you're trying to encourage a brother and sister in Christ. That's just getting beat up. Well, the Bible says they're going to hate you, so there's that. No, but I think if we look at some things about this verse and about this thought tonight, we can draw some encouragement and maybe a little more fire, a little more vigor to go out and serve the Lord because the world hates us here tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into our message. Lord, just want to thank you for this day. Thank you for the chance to be here tonight. And Lord, just thank you so much for your precious word. And God, I know that tonight this verse doesn't seem like it's very encouraging on the outside, but Lord, I'm glad I know what we're going to say here in just a little bit with your help. And Lord, it's just exciting to me to get to preach this message tonight. I pray, Lord, you'd guide our lips and help us to say what you'd have us to say. Lord, guard our thoughts tonight. I pray, Lord, you'd forgive us of where we failed you today. And Lord, just speak through us this evening. Lord, I pray that you give liberty, unction, and power to preach your word. Speak to the hearts of the people that are here tonight. Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You ever wonder why the world hates us so much as Christians? It seems like today there's a plague, if you will, of modern day Christianity that does not reflect in any shape, form, or fashion the Christianity as laid out in the Scriptures. We've got a trend, if you will, of pastors who are churches that are throwing away their pulpit. My brother, y'all know my brother, right? He preached at a church last Sunday morning. He's been preaching that for years. And over the years, he says every year when I go there, there's a steady digression of them going towards the contemporary way. And he said they finally made full circle and gone all the way this year. He showed up at the church and they've got all the lights turned down low, the accent lights going up the wall, the pallet wood wall behind them. They didn't have a pulpit anymore. They had the high top like coffee table sitting there, you know, with the bar stool sitting beside it. And that's where the pastor, he'd sit up there in his skinny jeans and t-shirt and pair of sandals or whatever he wore to church that day. And teach his message off of this little table. And he said, I done determined I was going to preach off the table, but not sit down to do it. And finally, and anyhow, he said it was just sad at what churches have gone to, what this contemporary liberal crowd is going to. And that's what's being presented to the lost and dying world as Christianity in the day we live in. They think that we're a bunch of oddball people, for a bunch of weirdos, because we live right, we talk right, we dress right, we represent our Lord the way that the Bible tells us we ought to represent our Lord. We're still preaching out of the same Bible, still preaching the same gospel, and we've not changed over the course of the years, over time. But now we are the minority in this thing of Christianity. And the world has a problem with us. They've always had a problem with the ones who want to stand right, who want to hold the line, who want to walk with God and be the Christians that God has called us to be. But unfortunately, they've gotten so used to this modern day Christianity to where that's all accepted, because it's all it's done is blend the world with the church. And that's not the way God intended it for it to be. So when we go out and we try to witness, we try to live for God in the communities around us, we ought to not be surprised when they reject us. I mean, it's real encouraging. You go knock on a door. Hey, we're from, what's the name of the church, brother? Unity. I'm sorry. I saw the big rug, saw the sign. We've been to so many places. I don't even know what state I'm in. Amen. I'm just in a state of confusion. Amen. But no, we're from Unity Baptist. Oh, we're good. We go to the church already. They slam the door or get out of here. That's a real blessing, isn't it? But it ought to not catch us off guard. Because the Bible says, marvel not, my brethren, that the world hates you. I want to look at a few things this evening, the Lord being our helper, on why the world hates a true biblical Christian. A true biblical Christian. That word marvel not, it means that phrase marvel not, it basically gives the idea of don't let it steal our attention. Don't waste time standing around trying to figure out why the world hates us this evening. I tell you, with as much as Jesus loves us and they hated him, it's no wonder they hate us as true Christians. Amen. They're going to hate us this evening. But I want to look at a few things this evening, and then we'll let you go as to why the world hates us as followers of God. First thing I want to look at is just the next verse up. We can see where it says here, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. I want to say, number one tonight, the reason they hate us is because they hate the righteous because of the wickedness of their own heart. The cause of the wickedness of their own heart. When the lost and dying world around us sees someone who's trying to live right, it brings conviction upon their life. It makes them feel uncomfortable. That's why some people just don't want to come to church. They say, "Well, it makes me feel I feel convicted when I feel condemned when I go to that church." And my response is always, "Well, if you get saved and get your heart right with God, you wouldn't feel that condemnation anymore." Amen. And one of the greatest compliments I believe I've ever been given at my preaching was not meant to be a compliment. A woman came to a church. We were preaching at Minnesota one time. That morning, God had put a burden in my heart to preach on hell. And we preached a message on hell that morning, gave the gospel in that message. And this woman sat there under deep Holy Ghost conviction the entire time, squirming in her seat, couldn't sit still, kept adjusting her pink wig she had on her head. And I mean, it was a mess. She was finding anything she could do to try to occupy her time so she didn't have to pay attention to what was being preached. But God had her number that day. She left church that morning and told a friend that she had come to church with, said, "I won't be going back to that church. That preacher, he made me feel condemned that morning. That was too preachy for me. I don't think I'll go back there." And I tell you, the gospel ought to bring conviction to the life of a sinner. But the world hates us because of the wickedness of their own heart. We can see in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart of man is desperately wicked, the Bible says. We can see in Genesis chapter number 4 the mindset of Cain when it comes to the righteous things of God. We know the story. Cain and Abel, it came time to present their sacrifices, their offerings to God. for atonement of sin, if you will. And they go, and Abel, he presents that firstborn, that fruit of the firstborn, that lamb. He sheds that blood. He lays it upon the altar. He does everything the way that God showed Adam how to do it. And he does it God's way. And God accepts Abel's offering on that day. But Cain, in his pride, in his humanism, if you will, he brings up what he has produced through his hard labor, through his blood, sweat, and tears. He brings the fruits of the ground there of his garden and presents that to God, and God does not accept it, because that's not what God designed for that offering there. It's not what God asked for. It's not what God required. So what does Cain do? He gets mad at God. He gets mad at Cain, at Abel. God says, hey, look, man, if you'll do it right, it'll be accepted. But if you don't, sin lieth at the door. So God gives him a second chance. I'm glad we serve a gracious God that allows us opportunity to repent and get right when we've done wrong. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? But Cain, in his own pride and the wickedness of his own heart, he gets angry at Abel, goes out and kills his brother with a stone, and then gets angry at God and faces the judgment of God for what he's done. But we still see that mindset of people today. They see what God's word says. They see what they hear what the preacher preaches. They hear and see what the gospel tract teaches about being saved. I've seen people and witnessed to people and showed them the gospel, and they said, I see that. I believe that to be correct, but I'm not willing to do that because I like the way I'm living. They were happy with the wickedness of their own heart. But we still see this today. People rejecting to do things God's way, rejecting to accept God's will, and hating the things of God because of the wickedness of their own heart. They would, rather than repent, Cain went further into his sin. How oftentimes do we see that today? People are presented with the gospel and the opportunity to repent and give their heart to God, and they instead of getting right, they reject the gospel, they reject God, and they go deeper off into their sin. So we see the world is still full of this kind of people today. So we see, number one, the world hates us because of the wickedness of their own heart. Number two, we can see that the world hates the true church of God, the true Christian, because they are living in darkness. They are living in darkness. John chapter number 3, start reading at verse 16. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. People say, well, how can a holy God condemn a person to go to hell just because they don't believe on Him? Fact of the matter is, He does not condemn them. He came to save them from condemnation. Amen. Verse 18 says, he that believeth on Him is not condemned. If you believe on Jesus Christ, if you're here tonight and you're saved by the grace of God, you are not condemned to hell tonight. Amen. Then ain't that a blessing? But verse goes on to say, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. We know that Jesus was the light of the world. We know that Jesus was in the New Testament, when we get saved, we the Holy Spirit of God moves inside of us, and we become a shining light for the gospel. Amen. We are to be a light, like a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. We all know the song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to Let It Shine." Amen. You know what light does, Brother Jacob? It exposes things. I wouldn't plan on preaching this tonight, but I have a flashlight anyhow. Amen. I like flashlights. As a mechanic, I was a mechanic before God put us full time in the ministry. And something about a light makes all the difference in the world. You cannot diagnose a problem if you can't see the problem. Amen. Yeah, I mean, how many of you grew up holding the light for your daddy and was scared to do anything after you didn't hold the light in just the right spot for the long way? I mean, I'm picking. But no, so something about a light, it shines out. And we could cut all these lights off here tonight. This is a little pocket light, but it's got enough power to where it can overpower a room full of darkness, right? That light's not going to do any good if I cover it, is it? Sad fact of the matter, a lot of church members, a lot of saved people, they've decided, well, I'm going to let my light shine. That's a private thing, so I'm going to just peek at it every now and then. I'm not going to let the world see it. They're going to cover it with the flesh is what they're going to do, Brother Jacob. And they're going to hide it from the world. But the world hates it when a Christian lets their light shine. Darkness and light do not go well together. There's always going to be a struggle between the two. The two will never agree. Light exposes things. When light is brought to the life of a sinner, it reveals their sinful state and their need of a Savior. This creates conviction and reminds them that they are condemned to die. Rather than repenting and trusting Christ, they choose to reject Christ and blame Christians for the feeling of condemnation that is brought on them by sin. How many times have we seen that? They get mad at us. It's just like getting mad at the mailman for handing you a bill. Amen? I mean, he's not the one that run up the power bill. He's not the one that run up the credit card bill. He's just delivering what you have earned. Amen? And so when the world's going to get mad at us because they are living in darkness and we are the light of the world. Even though they hate light, we still have the responsibility because, number three, we are the light of the world. We can see this over Matthew chapter number 5 this evening. Matthew chapter number 5. Got a new Bible. I'm trying to get broke in. The pages are stuck together still. Verse 14 says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So we, number three, we are the light of the world. As Christians, we are to carry the light of Jesus Christ into a lost and dying world. Jesus said in John 8:12 that He is the light of the world and that those that follow Him will no longer walk in darkness. Unfortunately, people don't want to see this light, and that creates tension. That creates problems. That creates hate. We know that unfortunately, the world would rather have darkness rather than the darkness of sin rather than the light of salvation. They hate the light. They want their own sin. I know a man. He lives in Minnesota. His name is Sid. Sid grew up for years. He joined the Muslim church as a young, or the Muslim church, I guess you'd call it a church, whatever. I don't know what they are. He joined the Muslim faith years ago as a young man, changed his name and everything, gave himself a Muslim name, became part of the Muslim faith, started faithfully following Allah and the Muslim religion. And then he got a lifelong friend that got saved, and God made such a difference in that man's life. It got Sid's attention. And Sid started asking questions about salvation, about this Jesus, about the gospel, about the Word of God, and all these different things. And Sid's friend brought him out to us, me and another preacher, one week, and we got to spend a week around Sid, preaching and teaching the gospel to him day in and day out, taking him through the Word of God, showing him why Jesus was the Son of God, and how if you'll just put your faith in Him, you could be saved. We asked Sid one day, he said, "Well, what does Islam teach us that you have to do to earn salvation to make it to heaven?" He said, "You know what? I don't really know." He said, "Let me call whoever is mosque leader." He called him. He didn't have a clear answer for him. He said, "Call this guy." It was the regional guy for the upper Midwest. He called him. He said, "I don't really have the clear answer for you either. Call the national level." He got all the way up to the national level. Called this leader in Islam. He said, "Oh, well, that's easy. Here's the list." And Sid started writing stuff down. He got off the phone. He looked at all that he had just written out as requirements that was put on him through Islam in order to hopefully make it to heaven one day. He just broke down crying. He said, "I can never do any. I can never keep all this. There's no hope." And through the course of time, Sid has come to the realization that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is a sinner deserving of hell, and that salvation comes by faith and repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's realized the way of salvation. Brother Jacob, he told Brother Jody Cole, he told Brother Jody Cole this one day, one of the last times he talked, he said, "I know all this to be true, but I'm not ready to repent and believe on Christ because I like my life right now the way it is. I don't want to let go of my sin." He chose darkness rather than light. He chose to have his sin rather than have his sins forgiven, because the world hates the light of Christ. It's been real encouraging so far, hasn't it? Amen. They hate us. We're light, they're darkness. We don't get along. They're wicked in their hearts. We have the righteousness of Jesus Christ in our hearts. Therefore, they're not going to like us. So, Brother Caleb, you said this was going to be an encouraging message. Well, hopefully this will be it. Amen. Now that we have an understanding of why the world hates us, what are we to do, and where is the encouragement in this? I like what Romans chapter 5 says about this. Let's flip over there and look at a few verses. Romans chapter number 5. Verse number 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say this before we get into this. Well, let's read on a little bit. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know what that verse lets me know? No, that lets me know we used to be the ones that were alienated from God. We used to be the ones that were living in darkness. We used to be the ones that hated Christianity, that hated those that walked with God, because we were of the world and they were of God. And there was that contrast, that conflict inside of us. But I sure am thankful that one day God came and he sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross of Calvary. Jesus shed his blood so that we could be saved. And on August 8, 1998, as an 8-year-old boy, I put my faith in Jesus Christ, became part of the family of God. No longer did I hate the things of God. No longer did I despise the holy, righteous things of God. No longer was I made to go to church and made to do the things that were right. But I fell in love with God's people. God put something inside of me that I hadn't been able to get rid of, brother. And thank God he made a difference in my life. No longer was there conflict between me and the true living church of God, but there was unity there because we were born of the same Father. Amen. As a church, we need to go and share the gospel everywhere we go. That's what's going to make the difference. That's what's going to take an old hard-hearted sinner and break that fallow heart up, that hard heart up, and soften it to the gospel. That's what's going to cause them to get saved and become a brother or sister in Christ, is if we go and share the gospel in love. Even though they may hate us, they may mock us, they may curse us and all these other things, even though religion and Christianity is, as the world knows it today, it's going away from the Word of God and away from what the Bible teaches that we as the church ought to be, we still need to be a faithful witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I tell you, if you ever get down the dumps about the world hating you, go find somebody to tell them about Jesus. Amen. That'll lift your spirits. Whether it does anything good for them or not, that'll make you feel better about being saved. Amen. Just remind yourself that you're not going to hell. God is going to be with us, and we can take a stand. We don't have to bow down just because they don't like us. Amen. I tell you, I just love it. I love going and telling folks about the Lord. And one verse, 1 John chapter 4, verse 5 says this, is they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. There's a reason why the world does not want to hear us as Christians. It's because we're not of the world. But I tell you, I'm glad God is greater than that. The Bible says, for greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. And if we'll go and be faithful, if we'll go and go stand on the corners and preach the gospel, hold gospel signs, get the tracts out, go to the prisons and the jails and go to where they are and be faithful to take the message, God can work through all that. Another thing I thought about where we can find some encouragement through this thought is the fact that Jesus is coming back. This sitting hall we've got to look forward to. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? Whether we go by the grave or by the rapture, one day we'll get to see Jesus. And all this that we face on this earth will just be a faint, distant memory, if that. Amen. It won't bother us anymore. And I just want to say lastly this evening, if you're lost, if you're at enmity with Christ, if you hate the things of God this evening, I want to encourage you to get saved. Give your heart and life to God. And then you can have a love for the things of God. You won't hate the things of God anymore. Tell you, I'm glad that Jesus is coming back. I want to share one more verse of Scripture with you. And then we'll turn it back over to Brother Jacob. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I was thinking about this message one day, and this verse come back to my mind. And man, it helped me. Hopefully it'll help you. Verse number 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse number 11 says, we'll just back up a little bit. Let's look at verse number 9. Know ye not the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, but be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Verse number 11 says, and such, what's that next word? Were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I'm glad that if it weren't for the grace of God tonight, I would be one of that part of that crowd that hates the brethren. I'd be part of that crowd that does not want anything to do with God. I'd be part of that crowd living in darkness and despising the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I'm glad that I fall in that were some of you category. I'm not what I used to be, amen. I walked in and saw the sign about being a church under construction. I thought, man, I'm a life under construction. Pardon the mess, amen. And God's still working on me to make me what He wants me to be. But I'm glad that positionally I'm everything that Christ is tonight in the sight of God. But practically, we need to be working to grow in the Lord. And I'm just thankful to be saved tonight. I could still be lost on my way to hell. And I'm glad tonight that I'm part of that crowd that the world hates. Amen. And I just want to keep serving the Lord, keep being a faithful witness. And I hope you do too. Amen. Lord, just want to thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. And now I pray, Lord Jesus, be with Brother Jacobs. He closes the service out how he see fits. Lord, help us now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.